Hello, everybody. It's your old pal, Rob. Welcome to Rob's Tabletop World Podcast. Yeah, say that a few times. Make your head spin. I'm going to tell you something. It has been probably one of the most interesting weeks I've had in a long, long, long time. And, we've got a ton of stuff to cover today. First off, let me just jump right into it. I have been sent a game that I've done a bunch of videos over the weekend, and for me it really is something groundbreaking. It's a League of Dungeoneers, and I've got to tell you, this has just been one of the most fantastic experiences I've had in quite some time. If you are a fan or never had the chance and heard, you know, how great Warhammer Quest was, 95, this is a game that is really going to hit home with you. It has a lot of those elements, and yet it has a lot of elements that you would get from D100, some of the things that you would find for Against Darkness, other, it's all the things that you could possibly want in a dungeon crawl. And that's the thing that got me, is how much all the little things kind of added together. It's very driven on, you're going through these quest booklets, and what you're going to do is you're going to have quests. But the thing is it's not always going to be as easy as you think it is, because there are different things that kind of attribute to your party that a lot of people don't think about. The stress of going down, learning to trust each other, threat level. Listen, as you're crawling through a dungeon, you know what's going to happen. You are going to run into different types of threats. You're going to run into things that are going to cause you to panic and to kind of rethink as you go down the senses of danger. You know, you open up a door, there's a bunch of demons. Well, you're not just going, oh, okay, there's a bunch of demons, let's go fight them. No, that's going to attribute to some of the sanity levels that you have. And your sanity does get in check. As you continue on and go through all these adventures, your sanity level kind of, you know, it's not in the sense of a Cthulhu type game where you lose, you know, your sanity, but you know, certain things, taking damage, getting banged up, getting knocked around and stuff, you know, these things take a toll on a person. You know, same as if you were a professional wrestler of some sort, and how, you know, you have a bump count. You know, you can only take so many bumps on that mat before, you know, you really start to feel the effects. And that's what this game does. And it does it better than a lot of games I've seen. It has a settlement phase. Okay, very much a la Warhammer Quest 95. There is charts that you can roll off of that are going to kind of just put a whole bunch of things into perspective. Different types of monsters that you may find in a certain dungeon. Again, a la Warhammer Quest 95. It takes all the good things and improves upon a lot of things. The combat system, I really enjoy. The spell system, how that works. Miscasting. How it can affect your sanity, it really hits home. The part that really excites me is the fact that I don't have to paint a thing. You get a ton, and when I mean a ton of standees that are absolutely beautiful. I mean, the art on these things are phenomenal. And this really adds to it. Because a lot of times you run into a game and you've got a million miniatures and you go, wow, you know, I really can't do this whole, throw a bunch of gray plastic on there. I mean, look at these things. These things are beautiful, XYZ, so forth and so on. And you can't help but, want to paint those things. And then that is where your backlog begins and you start getting, blowed up and so forth and so on. You know, it takes away from the game because you're like, oh, I got 97 miniatures. I got to paint for this. I'll never get to play this game. And that's where this game, differs so much, is it really works with the standees. And the tiles are beautiful. The quality of everything is through the roof. The art is fantastic. The book, easy to read. This could easily be the game of the year for me. And that's really hard to say when we're just in January. You know, we got 11 more months of stuff coming out, or, surprises that I don't even know about. But for me, this is something that I waited for this game. The communication was phenomenal on it. Michael did a fantastic job. This game originally started as a print and play game, and it has evolved into this fantastic game. And there's a reprint out there. If you just go type in the Google machine, League of Dungeons, League of Dungeoneers, forgive me, you're going to be it'll pop up. And if you really want this, there is room for a reprint. I believe some distributors may be carrying some, but it's going to be few and far between. This is just getting out. They're waiting for everybody to come back from the Chinese New Year, and then the backers will get all theirs, and the people that bought a bunch for retail will get theirs as well. So this is just something that I highly suggest. And when I tell you something special, I mean, for me, it's special, and I'm usually pretty much on the mark. I don't think I've ever steered too many people wrong. But just like I said with Oathsworn, how I felt about that game, I that's the way I feel about this one. Daniel at the Dungeon Dive wrote me a nice little thing and said, "Hey, you know something? You're dead on here. This reminds me and scratches a lot of itches that, somebody that is looking for new material for 95, this does all the things that you hoped it would do. This is the all the stuff that you were hoping that when they redid Warhammer Quest 95, that would actually that would have been, in, Hammerhall and the Silver Tower and stuff like that in Curse City. But wasn't there. They decided to reinvent the game, which was a real shame because, they missed Warhammer missed a huge opportunity there. A huge opportunity. Not that those games were really bad, because I do like Silver Tower for what it is, but it just it doesn't give bring back those that very that role playing aspect that you had with Warhammer Quest 95. So, if you get a chance, really go over to the site. They're going to do a reprint if they get enough signatures, and you'll be able to get it. And I believe this is a game that should be in everybody's hands. I really think this is something special done by a very special, special person who's got a lot of tricks up his sleeves and a lot more coming for us. So I'm really looking forward to it. So be sure to check it out. We got more things to talk on the other side here. There's a lot of things going on and stuff like that. And I really want to hit on a few things. So we will definitely talk about those on the other side of this segment. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, we're right back on the other side here. So a couple things I wanted to talk about. First of all, I know the audio quality is not the greatest. I am filming this on the road today, and I wanted to make sure that we stayed on schedule every Wednesday. So please forgive the quality. It may not be the greatest this week, but we will get back in back in the studio and tape this again going forward with better quality. So again, I apologize for this, but you know, I want to make sure I stay consistent and on time. I'm a big stickler with trying to do that. One of the things I wanted to talk about was some of the things that I've been really mulling over. You know, one of the things on the channel that I always set a goal for me was to get up to about 20,000 people following us on the YouTube channel. You know, this podcast thing is a whole different world. You know, I don't even know what the heck I'm doing. You know, I'm asking people for 5-star reviews and I don't even know what the hell it does. And then, you know, supposedly, you know, you can make a couple of shekels off this, but I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't know the first thing on how to do that. So I do this out of, you know, pretty much out of passion, pretty much how I still feel the same way with the channel. You know, I feel very strongly about the channel. I'm very passionate about it and I enjoy what I do. And, you know, as we're closing in, you know, on that pinnacle of what I wanted to hit, I was thinking, you know, where do you go from there? And I really started thinking about this. You know, do you slow down a little bit? You know, once you hit that 20 grand, do you say, you know, I did everything I could with this and you know, that's good enough for me. And for me, it's not. I really have it in my heart, you know, to really take this farther. You know, should I slow down? Should I do less videos? Probably, because, you know, the old saying, how can I miss you if you never go away? You know, if I keep cranking out 6-7 videos out a week, you know, people are going to get tired eventually. But I never worried about that type of stuff. And that's the funny thing about it. I never worried about that type of stuff. I mean, for me, It was more, you know, I did this because, you know, there are no gaming groups that work for me, that I would want to be a part of. It's not that I'm, you know, how do you say it? It's not that I'm introverted or anything like that. It's more, I don't do well with people that are full of drama. Now, at one time I belonged, I started hanging with a garrison and that was in the local area, and what a bunch of drama queens. And that was the last time I ever tried to do things with people because, you know, it was, oh, you know, you talk to this one a certain way. You know, I was always goofing around, you know. I was trying to, I remember we were playing Shadows of, Camelot. And I was kind of, I said, you know, I'm going to have fun with this. I'm going to throw everybody off a little bit and I'm going to make them think I'm the traitor. And I just wanted to have fun. And I said, you know, I go, I don't know, maybe he's the traitor, you know, and I was always trying to sell something or another, trying to figure it out. And I was laughing, having a good time. Well, I didn't take the game serious enough. And then, you know, certain people didn't like it and certain people thought it was funny. And you know, this one has a mental problem. So you got to talk to them a certain way. And the group is very protective of this person. And I'm like, I'm not, you know, I wasn't saying anything derogatory to anybody, but they were just a bunch of babies. And they wanted to be famous so bad. They wanted this thing. They would have these things in a local library, and you know, thinking that they were going to bring gaming back and they were going to do all these things. And you know, I would go there, and I think I filmed some of it early on in my my career of a YouTuber, because I had just started when I was a part of this thing, and. I just never met a bigger bunch of idiots. And it kind of really, that's the way it's always been. It's always, you know, listen, I'm sure I'm not perfect. Okay. I'm sure I have my faults and quirks, but you know, I'd rather just be by myself, do my thing and, you know, film things. Because it's easier to communicate. I mean, I think we as a whole, if you follow me on the YouTube channel, I think I communicate things very well. I don't shut up, and you know, that can annoy an alpha gamer or someone that is a very quiet gamer. You know, I could maybe come across as boisterous to them, and you know, dealing with all the different personalities. The best part about it is the people that watch the channel watch it because they want to be there. You know, they see who I am. They know who I am. And for them, you know, what I do works. I'm not for everybody. No, no way. No way. And that's okay too. But, you know, the best thing about YouTube and having your little group on YouTube is the people that want to be there, you know, you're not dealing with people with different, you know, worrying about politics or this, that, and the other, or how this one feels or who's sensitive over that or this, that, and the other. If you don't like what I'm saying, guess what? You get to turn off the video and go someplace else. And that's one of the best things about being doing this and being able to share all the things that I do and really loving my community as much as I do is because people actually want to be there, and I don't have to worry about what I say, how I feel about things, whose feelings I hurt. You're there because you want to be there. You get how I am. You have a passion to learn what I'm trying to teach you or show you. And we're in it together, and there's no pressure for anybody. You know, you don't have to be there at 8 o'clock on a Friday. Oh, geez, I got to take up my Friday night. You know, I really wanted to stay home and spend time with my wife. No, you can watch the video whenever you want and get the enjoyment out of it. I can film these things whenever I feel like it. If I don't feel it, if I don't want to play games that week, well, guess what? I'm not going to play games that week. You know, and that's one of the things that really keep me going doing this and keep me very passionate about it. You know, really think about it. It is the ultimate group. And yes, I play things solo, but I never feel that way when I'm playing it because I feel like you guys are there and we share things and so forth and so on. And it really, really works. It really does. And it's just something that I thought about. I said, well, yeah, that's what I want, why I want to keep going, is because I'm able to do things and do a hobby when I feel like doing it, share it with others who want to watch it when they want to watch it. Am I out striving to become, you know, huge and everything like that? No, far from it. You know, those guys are trying to make a business and a living out of it. I don't have to. I have a very, very great job that I make plenty of money at, ridiculous money. I have a farm to take care of with my son. I have, you know, beautiful grandchildren and all these other things that really, you know, fulfill my life. And for me, it really, really just really hits home for me. You know, just being able to share things. And I have this deep connection with a community, a small community, you know, almost cultish in some ways. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we're a small group, a unique group. I mean, how many people want to follow an old guy? You know, I'm over 60 some odd years old, you know, and I'm still playing with toy soldiers. You know, and people watch that and are passionate about it and are passionate about how I feel about it. And it just, for me, is everything. You know, the technology, I couldn't improve the quality of half the stuff I do. I mean, no way. I'm just not that good. And, you know, I see some of these openings and thumbnails and watch some of these videos. It's like watching, you know, it's like watching network TV. You know, I don't have the ability to do that. What I sell to you is me. They're trying to sell a patron, you know, and some of them are passionate. You know, early on when, when Tom, you know, you got to remember when I was doing things for Tom, he was around 70, 80,000, you know, look at him now. You know, back in the early, early days. And, you know, I was doing videos for him and stuff like that. And, you know, before I really decided to do my own thing, because I had my own message. And, you know, here's a guy that just does, you know, is doing it for a living. It is a business. I think it would take the fun out of it for me. You know, he has to show you a lot of the newer stuff, you know. Does he get a chance to break out a bunch of BattleTech miniatures like I did this week? Take a bunch of pictures, paint up a couple of clan stars. Yes, I know they were clan stars, not lances. I accidentally labeled it the wrong way, but if you look on the channel, you'll see them. You know, am I able to bring you off the cuff games? Is he able to do that? No, he has to keep up with the Joneses. He has to pay his bills. This is his living. You know, he's got to get that video out on that newest, hottest game. And that's a tough, tough thing to do. All those people that are trying to do this for a living, that have to, you know, clickbait anything they can to get you to watch it, because that's how to get you to subscribe, to get you to keep coming back. Me, it doesn't matter. Once I hit that number, it's kind of like, all right, you know, nothing really changes. I'm just doing to have fun, not keep up with the Joneses. I'm not looking at the analytics. Now, don't get me wrong. If people aren't watching, well, I don't have to do it anymore. I'll just turn off the cameras and do it myself. And that's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I'm just at such a peaceful time in this. You know, I really enjoy this podcasting thing. I have no idea what I'm doing. Like I said earlier, what am I doing? I don't even know. But I really enjoy it. You know, I'll sit here with a thought or something and, you know, and do this. You know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm doing this. I'm doing it because I have some thoughts in my head and, you know, you're able to turn on the microphone, you know, all right, I can't sleep. Well, let's do our podcast. Let's talk to people. Let's say what we really feel because it's genuine. I mean, I know it's genuine. I hope you feel that too. You can feel how genuine I feel. And when I discuss things and I talk and I share my thoughts, I share my inner feelings about things and how important it is for me to express these things to you. You know, I'm just very, very blessed with this. And, you know, as I'm closing in on this, you know, I think by the time you guys read this, I'll be less than 200 subscriptions away from it. And, you know, it's such a big milestone for me and such a big moment. You know, and just telling you how much I appreciate each and every one of you that listen to this, that follow the YouTube channel, that enjoy the things that I do, put up with my quirky ways, and, you know, have followed me for all these years. It's just meant a lot. And I just know that there's just so much more that I have to say, so much more that I want to continue to say. And I hope you'll keep listening. And, you know, I hope the podcast keeps growing, which I'm surprised at how much it does. And it really means the world to me. And I want to thank each and every one of you. All right. So we're going to cut some promos on the other side of this. I've got a few, you know, a couple more segments here in me, and we're going to talk about a few things. Boy, this is going to be another long episode, folks. Like I said, I can talk. And when I got nothing to say, that's when I'll stop doing this. So we'll see you on the other side of this. We'll finish this. You know, we've got a couple more segments for you in this episode. So again, we'll catch you on the other side. Okay, we're back. And like I said, I apologize for the audio. I am actually traveling, trying to make sure that I get this in. And, you know, I like this, like I said earlier, I want to stay consistent. The next thing I wanted to talk about was, this one's kind of weird in a way. But Board Gamers Giving Awards. And, you know, there's a certain amount of people that I feel that should give awards. And, you know, that's people that have been around for a long distance of time, you know, extensive background in covering board gaming. You know, you talk about a Tom Vassell, okay, and the Dice Tower, and what they do. Their awards mean something. Tom has played millions of games. And I do mean millions. And I've been there firsthand. I've been there and watched them play from 7:30 in the morning till the time they call it quits. And it never felt like a job to them. And I was always amazed at that. You know, I was driving all the way, you know, halfway across the state to get there a couple of times a month. And, you know, his passion for it. You know, when you get a Dice Tower Award, this is a guy that can play any game and compare it to something else that he's seen before, or to go one further, you know, be able to identify certain things. He's written articles for years. His following, let's be honest. Okay. He's one of the biggest, you know, board gaming channels on YouTube. And there's a reason for that. It's his passion. It's who he is. Board gaming is his life. Board Game Geek, the people that they have there, okay, who have written articles on board games for years and years, their database, how they go about giving out their awards. Okay, it's professionally done. When you get a board, a Golden Geek, it means something. But to have some, you know, ringer or you know, board gamer, you know, all of a sudden slap a name on a YouTube channel, make, you know, a few videos for a year or two, and now all of a sudden he's an expert in board gaming. He's an expert at you know, being able to tell you, you know, what's the best. You know, anybody can run out and have a bunch of fancy awards made. Okay, it's not a hard thing to do. You pay $30 an award. You have somebody's name engraved it in it. You pick a game that you really like. And then, you know, you say, hey, you send them this beautiful award. You got an award from X Board Gaming on YouTube. And of course, you know, the company's going to use it as a promotional thing. Hey, look, you know, we've gotten awards from, you know, the Dice Tower. And then, you know, this guy and that guy, this guy. All it is for these people, it's not about them giving awards. And first of all, what are their qualifications? Does this mean just anybody can give an award? Pretty much. That's all it's saying. So does it water down, you know, awards in a way? I think so. As a matter of fact, I do a full video on this very subject that you'll see coming up this Friday. Depending on when you see this, but when this podcast released, you know, I really kind of go into a tangent because I was surfing through YouTube and I see, and I think it was also, my Twitter. Yes. And I see, oh, you know, we got an award from this one. I go, wow, this must be somebody. So I decided to look it up on YouTube, you know, who was it? It was some little channel that had, you know, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people. Okay. And has only been around for a little while. So what does that more award mean? It really doesn't mean much. What are this guy's qualification, or some of these channels qualifications? Are they making themselves self-important? Well, you know, I think this is the game of the year. I'm going to tell a story. Herman Luttman, who is a very close friend of mine. Okay. I was working the Board Game Geek booth. I want to say about 5 years ago. And, I went to Herman and I said, boy, Herman, you know, I played a lot of your games and stuff like that, but boy, you know, I just got this latest edition of Dawn of the Zeds. It's like the greatest game, you know, I ever played, a zombie game I've ever played. And he thanked me in this night. And he was next to a guy who he knew. And the guy goes, well, I'll tell you what, I made it my game of the year. I'm like, oh my God, this guy must be important. I didn't know who it was. And he introduces me to this guy. And it was the gaming gang guy, that moron. And he was so pompous about it. Like he was, you know, like he was somebody so important. And I felt so bad because I had no idea who he was at the time. And so he walked away and then, oh, the gaming gang, I got to see that this is probably a really big boy. At the time, you know, this is going back 6 years ago. He had already been doing it for like 7 years. Okay. And, you know, he had about three or 4,000 people following him. And I'm like, who is this guy? And he's making like his opinion is like the most, and he was going on and how his opinion was so important. And he was this important board gaming channel. And I'm like, what? What? And I just never got that, because what you end up doing, and it, you know, and here it is, you know, the guy's been doing it for 15 years, okay, now, and you know, still going nowhere, because it's cringy, because you think you're more important than the game itself, and I never understood that. And my point of this and where I'm trying to go with this is we as YouTubers should do this for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's our way of maybe having our own gaming group without having a gaming group, okay? And being able to showcase and show things off and help people, okay? Help companies. Help people make smart decisions. I think that's the best way to put it. Can you help someone make a smart decision? I'm not saying that my opinion is the end all be all, but if I give you my view and then you go to three or four different channels and get their opinion, you can assess what that game is. And if it's for you, and spend your money intelligently. You got to remember, we are in a time where we're coming into this recession, or you know, or things are changing. Prices of games are going up. People do not have disposable income, and they want to make smart decisions. And to serve the community the best way, a lot of these smaller channels and ourselves, because anybody can make a channel, but if you cannot make it about yourself, if you can make your channel, of course, you know, you have to somehow make it a little bit about yourself, because, you know, you have to have your personality in it, okay? Or else, you know, everybody's doing the same thing. Well, basically, yes, everybody is doing the same thing. But my point is that can you serve the community by giving them your opinion intelligently and how you feel about a game and say, hey, this isn't the end all be all, but go see what everybody else is saying and make the smart decision. So at the end of the day, you know, maybe that person goes out and gets that game and go, wow, my tastes are completely different than that YouTuber. Completely different. Well, now I know. If he really likes something, I probably may not like it. Or maybe, you know, someone else, you know, in that same grouping of that same game said, you know something, this is okay. I don't really care for it. And then he can point to that particular, I'm more in line with this guy. That's the service we should be providing. Okay, is being able to showcase something and being able to have people make smart decisions. Smart decisions. excuse me for that. I'm not going to edit it out, especially since I'm on the road here. But help people make smart decisions. If you do that, that's better than anything else. No, instead, we're giving out self-important awards, okay, and trying to make connections with all these distributors, which there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But this is their way of getting free advertisement. Oh, you won my award for Game of the Year. Congratulations. This is a great honor. And you know, a small company is going to milk that. They want to sell games. What's wrong with that? Nothing. But these awards sometimes become tools on how to get more subscribers, more people to pay for your patron, you know, all these other little things that add up so you can make yourself basically self-important instead of serving the community. What is your qualifications to make something Game of the Year? I can only think of a couple of channels that have that right. I really can. And, you know, I'm not going to name all of them, and I forget of them, but I will always say the Dice Tower, because nobody, I believe nobody, has a better grasp on the gaming industry than Mr. Tom Vassell. I've worked with the man. I've been around the man. I've been awed by the man. I've also, you know, bumped heads with the man and disagreed with how he's done certain things. But at the end of the day, there is nobody better, okay, to give out an award because it makes sense. Origins. It makes sense. They've been around. They have a board that does it. So when they give out their Origins awards, okay, well, it makes sense. It makes sense. But, you know, any Tom, Dick, or Harry giving out an award, you know, even if I gave an award out, you know, what does it mean? It's kind of like getting an award for being the nicest guy in prison. It really doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot at the end of the day. And that's one of the things that I scratch my head when I see these things. How you know, I understand that you got to try to stand out and you got to make your mark. But dear God, It's just flooded with this kind of stupidity. Instead of just doing the basics, working very, very hard to gain people's trust, okay? Because all the other stuff comes. But it really comes down to working hard, giving people what they really, really need. And that's information. Good, solid information. Talk from your heart. Even if they don't agree with you, they can respect you in what you are saying because you mean it. They may not have the same viewpoint as you, but say what you feel. Talk from your heart. Be real. Serve your community the best you can. You know, those are the things that I really live by. And I hope to keep doing it for quite some time. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Time will tell. So there you go. That's kind of a pretty long tangent. And, you know, a rant, basically. Tangent. Boy, I'm butchering the... You know why? Because now it's like 3:58 in the morning. And I'm still putting this together. But there you go. So this turned out to be a very long podcast, that's for sure. I had a lot to say. But we're going to close this out with some final thoughts on the other side. And we'll see you on the other side of this. And we'll get on out of here, that's for sure. Wow, this has been a very long show. Maybe I should do this on the road more often, huh? because I'll tell you, I had a lot to say, and maybe I should just stay up late, late at night, because that's when, I think the wheels turn the most. This coming week, you are going to see a lot of things. First of all, I've got the review coming out. I believe the same day this comes out for League of Dungeoneers. I do rant about awards on Friday. The following week, I am dedicating a whole bunch of time to a game that, if you love BattleTech, and I do, and you are fans of BattleTech, nothing is going to replace BattleTech in your heart, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. I have been playing and working on and getting ready to do some live playthroughs of a game called Cav Strike Operations. It's an older game. You can go and look it up, and you'll see that I covered this back, I think, in 2017 at Origins itself. I had dug some of this out, and I had contacted the owner, and I said, I really like to bring some of this in. How can you know? I see you only take PayPal on the site, and I was wrong about that. But he said, well, Rob, what are you looking? Well, I filled up a cart with about 80 things, and I was surprised that it was only a few hundred dollars. Because this is such an affordable game, and all you need is like 4 mechs aside, and this game is just really, really just special, fantastic, and a lot of fun. And I wanted to cover it extensively. The book is cheap. I mean, you can get into this game and really have a lot for under 50 bucks. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to cover it on the channel. So again, I was getting ready to check out and stuff, and I wrote him. I said, hey, do you think there's anything else I need? He goes, well, we started, making doing the we finally got our productions up. Things had slowed down because he lost one of his friends from Reaper that he was working with. But he decided to send me a ton of stuff, and I was completely blown away because compared to the miniatures that I had gotten 5 years ago, these are 100% better. They go together perfectly, and it's nice that you can put them together in sections if you want to. You could put a mech together in under a minute and a half. So it's not like there's a ton of assembly. But what it does do, it helps you with painting, especially with some of the bigger mechs where it's kind of hard to get a brush in too. Like with BattleTech, they all come complete. And I was blown away. I said, wow, this is just so much better. And all the buildings, the terrain, and just the rules. The rules were ahead of its time. I mean, this has been around for a while, but I don't think a lot of people know about it. And my job, again, like we talked about in the prior segment, is to bring you what I feel is things that people aren't talking about. Anybody can sit there and talk about the same game. Yes, that serves a function because then you get a real good sampling of what that game is. But what I like to do is pull things out that people aren't talking about and go, hey, take a look at this. This is affordable. This is a small publisher. You can get this. Go to their website. Check this out. This is something outside the box. And today, when you are looking to save money and money is tight for everybody, it's good to help a small publisher as well as help the community say, hey, you can get this. It's affordable, and the person has a lot of passion behind it. And that's what CAV does. And we're going to talk extensively next week. I'm going to show you how to paint them. I'm going to show you how to play it. I'm going to give you my review on it. I'm going up to the Bearded Brown Coat, and I'm going to have them try to, I'm going to see if I can get them to bring it into to the game store. So if you're local in Florida and you want to get your hands on it locally, you can do that. The mechs are so inexpensive, but the quality is through the roof. And this is just one of those companies that we're going to be talking about. We're also going to be covering, I have so much I have to catch up with. And we're going to be doing a live playthrough of League of Dungeoneer as well. So a lot of great things. I'm having a great time, which is most important. And just a lot of exciting things happening on the YouTube channel. We'll be back next week. I'm sure I'll run my mouth for another hour without a problem, and cut a promo on whatever is on my mind, good, bad, or indifferent. That's for sure. I want to thank you all for your support here on Rob's Tabletop Podcast, Tabletop World Podcast, but it's been overwhelming, the amount of people that have watched. There's supposed to be a way that I'm supposed to turn this thing on for something, but I don't know how to do that, so I'm not going to worry about it right now. Give me a 5-star review if you feel that this is something that you're interested in, and I don't know what that does either. Boy, it'd be really nice if somebody told me. And you could tell me by emailing me at novaprime860@hotmail.com. Or if you have any questions, or you just want me to read your letter on the podcast here. As a matter of fact, those have been piling up next week. I mean, I can almost do an episode with all the emails that I've gotten. But I think we'll have an email section, but this has just ran too long this week. And if you have something, hey, send it to us and we will talk about you on air. That's for sure. Until next time, it is your old pal Rob. Again, forgive us for the audio quality, but I'm doing this on the road. But I promise you we'll be back to our usual poor quality next week. Until next time, it's your old pal Rob. We'll see you soon, everybody.